Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
We're going to look at some scripture while you're turning to Proverbs 6. We're not going to stand just yet. While you're turning, I want to just review, church, what we've learned about Christian character over these last few weeks. First of all, the initial introduction to our subject and theme for the year, we got talked together and defined character as being the free will choice to do right. If we're going to have character, it's going to be a choice. If we're going to have a godly character and we're going to have a God-honoring character and biblical character, it's going to have to be a choice. We defined principles together as guidelines that lead us to doing right. And then we defined together ethics as the day-to-day operation of our character and our principles. And that was kind of the beginning of our studies into character under construction, conforming to the image of Christ. Then we looked at, in order to develop godly character, it was going to demand three things. First of all, it was going to demand action. It doesn't just fall upon you, folks. You don't get character by reading a book. He said, listen, it's going to require action, it's going to require sacrifice, and it's going to require patience. It's going to take time in order to develop good, godly Christian character. Then we talked about the construction of Christian character and who was in charge of doing the building. Sometimes we think it's all up to us, but it's not. The Spirit of God that was given you when you got born again was given you to be your teacher and your guide, to help you to build Christian character, to help you live by principles, to help you practice biblical ethics, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do it on our own. So He gave us a helper, a comforter to help us in that area. Then we looked at the life of a man that was a prime example of good character when we looked at the life of Job. Remember that just a few weeks ago? We looked at the life of Job and how that the life of Job was touched. We also looked at David. Remember in Psalm 15 how that he gave us some description of what a Christian ought to be and what kind of Christian character we ought to have, and we examined all of that. Now, then I touched on the character quality of respect just a few weeks ago during our budget meeting about how we ought to have respect of God's property, ought to have respect of church policy, and we ought to have respect of God's people. Now, there's a lot more to character that we're going to look at here tonight, but I want to ask you a question before we get into Proverbs chapter 6. What do you think is the biggest enemy of Christian character? I mentioned to you that I think probably one of the hardest things, one of the greatest challenges to having Christian character is personal character. It's very difficult to have Christian character if you don't have any personal character. And that's a big hurdle to get over. But what would you think would be the number one stumbling block, the number one enemy of having good character? You see, there's only one thing that I can find in the battle, or in the Bible, that it's a battle too. But in the Bible that I believe is the taproot of all the difficulties of developing good Christian character. And I want us to look at that tonight. Proverbs 6, would you stand with me? Proverbs 6 and verse number 16. I want to speak to you tonight, church, on the subject of Christian character's greatest enemy. And I want you to understand that when you try to have and try to develop good biblical ethics, and to stand on principles and build godly character, you will have opposition. Now I want you to look at where the greatest opposition is going to come from. These six things, verse 16, doth the Lord, does your Bible say hate? Now whatever is following here, I don't think God likes it very much. And the very first thing it says, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. The very first thing that it says in verse 17 is a proud look. Now, I want you to circle that, and I want you to draw a line out in the margin of your Bible, and I want you to write the word self. And then underneath that, I want you to write the word pride. And then I want you to turn, if you would, to Proverbs 8. Just flip over a page or two to Proverbs 8. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's the word again, to despise it. And then he says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And here's what he considers evil. First word, what's your Bible say? Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, do I, God said, hate. I despise it. I despise it. Look in Proverbs 29. Go to Proverbs 29. Go to Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. Listen carefully. A man's pride, didn't say it might, it said it shall bring him low. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now, folks, out of the three verses that we read tonight, it seems pretty clear to me that the number one obstacle that we're going to have in developing godly character and the number one problem we're going to have is ourselves. The number one thing that we're going to face is pride. And tonight I want to speak to you about Christian character's greatest enemy, because whether you develop the right character and whether you develop godly character is going to be determined on how you deal with this issue of self and pride. It is impossible, listen to me, for you to develop the kind of biblical character that you need to have if you're consumed with self. The Father bless us tonight. Teach us, we pray, from your book. And we look forward to what you're going to do tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, I wanted to review tonight the things that we've covered just by, for the simple fact that to help us remind ourselves of what we've looked at. And basically what we've covered up to this point is really just the nuts and bolts of character. We really haven't got into different character qualities and components of godly character. What we've looked at basically over the last few weeks is kind of the nuts and bolts of our goal this year, and that is to have character under construction of the Holy Ghost, conforming to the image of Christ. And so we've kind of looked at the nuts and bolts the last few weeks. But tonight, I want us to look at our greatest opposition and, I want to say, our greatest flaw. Everybody in here has the same flaw. It's depravity. It's self. It's pride. And it's the greatest flaw in accomplishing our goal. Now, folks, if we don't accomplish our goal this year, if we get to the end of 2012 and every member of Trinity Baptist Church has not accomplished the goal of having character constructed in your life so that you can be a better Christian, a better follower, a better soul winner, a better Sunday school teacher, a better husband, a better wife, a better teenager, a better child, how about a better student? You see, all of these things fall into this factor. If we end the year and you have not grown in this area, it will all be because of this one enemy that you allowed to get in and steal your joy. That enemy's pride. I said originally that I felt one of the biggest challenges to Christian character is the lack of developing personal character. It's going to be difficult. If you lack in personal character, I promise you, you lack in spiritual character as well. Because it's very difficult to build that type of foundation. But the taproot tonight, my dear friend, I think I've hit on it. It's pride. And I want to attack this subject for the next few minutes tonight to try to help us to understand that pride is Satan's inoculation into every person. It's his inoculation into a person's spirit that will keep you from reaching your goal of developing godly character and reaching the full potential. I went to a medical book and I looked up the word inoculation, and here's what it's defined in the medical book. It said inoculation is the introduction of infective material into the body in order to produce immunity to a specific thing. Now, just think about this just for a minute. Somebody help me out. What is the thing that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Pride. And so, therefore, wouldn't it make sense then if he just inoculated everybody with self and with pride to prevent us from accomplishing a certain thing? He doesn't want you to have character. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. He doesn't want you to be ethical or live a principled life. He wants you to be a liar. He wants you to be a cheat. He wants your testimony to be spit. That's what he wants. So what he does, he inoculates us with pride. We've all been inoculated with it. We've all been saturated in our spirit to the point that character is beginning to die out in our society, and the sad thing is, it's beginning to die out among the people of God. You see, pride fights against godly character and the attempt at developing it for God. But here's what I want you to remember, church member. Here's what I want you to remember, child of God. I want you to remember that as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit to counteract that inoculation. You have the Spirit of God in you that when you've been inoculated, when you've been injected, to counteract pride in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friend, that pride is like a bag with holes in it. Pride's like a dent in your new car. Pride's like a chip in the windshield. You ever got those? They're just forever there with you. It's like a chip in the windshield. It's like smoke to the eyes. You ever bit your tongue when you're eating? It's like biting your tongue. It's like hitting your finger with a hammer. It's bitter to the taste. It's hot to the touch. You say, boy, it doesn't sound like pride's very good. Pride is awful. It will destroy everything that you're trying to accomplish and destroy it and leave you an absolute pauper as far as character is concerned. Pride is despicable. It's destructive. It's distracting. It's damning. It's deceitful. It's dishonoring. It's dividing. Listen to me. It's devilish. It's what it is. Pride is selfish. It's sinful. It's satanic. It's shameful. It's secretive. It's separating. It's silent, listen, and it's suicide. That's what pride will do to you. God hates it. God despises it. God judges it. God condemns it. God rebukes it in Scripture. And I want to say to you tonight that we better understand that pride is one of those things that if you let get a hold of you, you'll never accomplish the type of character. You'll never accomplish the biblical home that you so desire. I want us to look at for a few moments about how and what pride did to some people. I've already mentioned, first of all, it got Lucifer removed out of heaven. Now let's stop and think here just a minute. Can you imagine how strong pride is if it gets, as far as we can tell from Scripture, what at one time was probably the number one angelic being over worship to God the Father? And it was so strong that in a perfect environment, it overcame him. And where are we? And we think that we are not susceptible to pride. And Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because of it. Eve was caused to disobey God because of it. Cain killed his brother because of it. Hey, listen, it caused everybody but 8 people to die in the flood because of their pride. Hey, it cost Samson his 2 eyes. It cost David his son. It cost Solomon his respect. And it killed Ananias and Sapphira. Now, I'm telling you, folks, we're talking about a serious disease here. We're talking about something that is no respect for persons and could care less of whether it's an adult or a child. It doesn't matter. Pride is no respecter of persons. Would you agree with me tonight that pride is the number one enemy of Christian character? You know, they say that high blood pressure is the silent killer of the body. But I'm here to tell you tonight, pride is the silent killer to spiritual and godly character. It will destroy it, and the thing about it is many times it'll be on you and destroy it before you even realize it. Do you know most people that are prideful don't even realize they are? You ever notice that? It's kind of one of those things to where they can't see the forest for the trees. Now what they do, now listen folks, I understand, I've been in this too long. They mistake spirituality with pride. They mistake the two. They think that they're on some level here when actually they're swollen up with pride. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, I think I read somewhere in the Bible about a group of people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know what their biggest problem was? Pride. Now, they thought they were on a totally different plane of spirituality from everybody else. But the problem was Jesus over and over tried to point out their problem. Their problem was pride. They never could see it. Matter of fact, every time Jesus tried to point the problem of pride out, they got mad. You know what I found out? When you try to point out pride in somebody's life, you know what normally they do? They get mad. They get mad. They get upset. They leave church. Oh, well, you know, what they do is they try to shut down every form of correction. They try to shut down every form of instruction of what you're trying to do to help them because they don't want you to call attention to their problem, and they know it's a problem. You see, pride tonight, dear church, it will destroy you. It's a silent killer. You will never be able to stop pride from attacking you, but you listen to me, but you can contain its influence and its effects on you. It's always going to be there. It's always going to attack you, but you can't stop the attack, but what you can do is you can stop the effects. You can stop the influence that it has on your life. Now with that tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the Christian characters, that Christian character's greatest enemy. First of all, I want to say to you, and I'm going to use a simple illustration with each one of these tonight. I want to say, first of all, that pride will change your heart about Christian character. Did you hear me? I said pride will change your heart about Christian character. You say, oh no, preacher, I'm solid. I'm not going to change. Well, you know what? I don't think Solomon ever thought he was going to change either. You know what it took? It took 700 wives and 300 concubines, but he changed. Go check me out. Hey, what I'm saying is pride got a hold of him. And what he did is he changed his heart about his relationship and about his Christian character and about his testimony. He changed. I think I read somewhere in the Bible he was the wisest man in the world. That there's never been any person outside of Jesus Christ that was wiser than Solomon was. And guess what? Pride got him, didn't it? And can I say to you tonight, it'll get you too. If you allow it, it'll get you too. It'll come find you. But pride will change your heart about Christian character. Listen to me. It will change your definition of character. We live in a generation where people get real good about redefining terms, don't they? Now, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean exactly what the Bible says. Okay? That's what I mean. People, listen to me. You know what pride will do? It'll start causing you to redefine terms. It'll start getting people to call certain sins certain things because they don't sound quite as bad. You see, it'll change your definition of character. You know how Satan got Eve? Yea, hath God said? Huh? You sure that's right? You sure you heard him right? You know what he did? He tried to redefine the definition of what God's instructions were. That's what pride will do. Hey, you'll begin to redefine terms. You'll begin to categorize things into good, bad, and not so bad. You hear me? You'll start categorizing things into good, bad, and not so bad. You know why? Because you start redefining. That's what pride does. Can I say something to you tonight? Pride's slick. Yeah, it's slick. And by the way, he's in on you and he's counseled you a lot of times before you even realize it. And if we're not careful, we'll become susceptible to it. But it'll change your definition of what character is because it'll change your heart about it. It'll change your attitude about violating biblical principle. Amen, preacher. I can take you to homes tonight of people that allowed pride to get in their life. They begin to redefine terms. They begin to redefine what character is. And now they're trying to tell me that what they're doing is not bad. And I can take my Bible and read it to them, Brother Gardner, and they still tell me, well, that's just your interpretation. Okay, listen to me. Now, wait a minute. Several years ago, they used to go to this church. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight, you say, preacher, where did it start? I'll tell you where it started. It started with pride. It started with redefining what character was. It started, all of a sudden, it was not about what is God defined as Christian character. It's what I define as Christian character. And listen, I'm telling you, you go to some people, they'll argue upside one side and down the other, and you've got the Bible right there in front of you. And they'll sit there right to your face and say, I don't care what you say. You see, it'll change your attitude about violating biblical principles. Preacher, you don't understand. I just had to do this. I had to do this certain thing. God, and listen, I heard one guy tell me, he said, preacher, God will forgive me. I said, but listen, my friend, you're approaching this coming through the back door. I know God will forgive you. But what about all these other people that saw you do this? What did you do to your testimony? What did you do to the testimony of your church? What did you do to the testimony of your God? It'll change your attitude about violating biblical principle. Listen to me. It'll change your convictions toward how you treat other people. You ever heard people say, well, preacher, they deserve it. Preacher, I gave them a piece of my mind, but you know what? They deserved it. Well, maybe they did. But I don't find in Scripture where Jesus ever gave anybody a piece of his mind. Do you? But you know, there's a bunch of people who deserved it. He said, oh, yes, he did, preacher. I saw in there where he called the Pharisees vipers and sepulchre. Why did sepulchres full of dead men's bones? But I don't think he did it in the spirit that some of us do it. And by the way, he was telling the truth. You see, I'm just saying to you tonight, church, pride is slick. He's a con artist. He's a smooth talker. You better beware. Because if pride ever gets a hold of you, he will change your heart about Christian character. Let me tell you something else pride will do. Pride will not only change your heart, number two, pride will close your spirit to Christian character. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how if many of you have ever sat down with a person that used to serve God and is backslidden away from God now. Tough, man. These people hard. They're tough. And you know what? Their spirit's closed. Their spirit's closed totally to Christian character. It's closed totally to godly principle. It's closed totally to the ethical life. You say, preacher, was there somebody in the Bible like that? Yo, Lot. Yeah, spirit totally closed. You say, well, how do we know? Folks, he only got out with two of his kids. He lost all the rest of them. Why? Closed spirit. He was around a bunch of sodomites, bunch of whoremongers, bunch of homosexual perverts. He was around all of these types of people. And you know what he did? Nothing. He did nothing. Why? Spirit closed. Closed to testimony. Closed to character. And you know what it cost him? It cost him his family. And can I say to you that pride will close your spirit to correction? It'll close your spirit to correction. You ever met anybody that you talk to and they, you know what? You're just not going to tell them what anything to do. They're not going to receive any correction whatsoever. Let me tell you something, what's going to happen to a person who closes their spirit to correction, it won't be long. They'll be up on the reef. Yeah, they'll be shipwrecked. They'll run ashore somewhere, just like Lot did. And it closed his spirit to correction. Can I say also that pride will close your spirit to conforming to Jesus and lead you to conform to the world? Folks, I'm telling you, we live in such a crazy world today. People are so mixed up. But you know what? The Scripture told us that there would come a day where men would call evil good and good evil. And I think we're probably in that day. But you know what? Pride, it's all pride. It's about self. Lot closed his spirit and lost his family. Hey, let me ask you this. Is it pride worth losing your family? It's cost many a folk their family. It's cost many a people a marriage. It's cost many a people their children. It's cost many a people a job. It's cost many a people everything that they have. See, pride will close your spirit. It'll close it to correction. It'll close it to the conforming process. Listen, it'll also close your spirit to caring about anything and anybody. Can I tell you, when Lot sat at the gate in Sodom, you think he was thinking about his family? Let me tell you how messed up Lot was. Remember when the angels came into town? They saw him come into town, and all the Sodomites come and said, bring them out, we want to know them. I said, do you understand what I'm talking about? Now listen now. This is how messed up Lot was. Lot was going to give his daughter to them. That's messed up. You know what that is? That's a closed spirit. That's nuts is what that is. And by the way, I didn't see Mrs. Lot screaming anywhere either. Can you imagine that, mamas? Your husband trying to give your daughter to a bunch of perverts? Any of you mamas going to speak up? Yeah, you did. You claw his eyeballs out, won't you? What little hair he's got on his head, he ain't going to have no more. All I'm saying to you is pride will close your spirit to Christian character. That's what it did to Lot. It'll change your heart about Christian character. That's what it did to Solomon. Let me say number three. Pride will control your decisions against Christian character. Pride will control your decisions against Christian character. Remember, there was a man, a king, that was supposed to go out when it was time for kings to go out to battle. But he stayed home. You see, David was king, but his decision not to go to battle and to stay home cost him dearly. Cost him dearly. But you know what it was? Pride. You say, but no. He's one of the greatest Christians in all the Bible. He's going to be one of the greatest patriarchs when we get to heaven. He got inoculated by pride too, just like you and I have been. He didn't let it, he allowed it to control him. He didn't subdue pride. And what happened was, is when he should be out to battle, he went on the housetop and he saw a woman bathing that day. And he knew, first of all, you know what, this ain't right, but I'm doing it anyway. You know what, that is pride. You know why? Because pride had inoculated him against Christian character. And so therefore it hindered him and his ability there to discern. Do you hear me? Because when pride controls your decisions, it will control your ability to discern. I'm telling you. There are people's lives are messed up. People, I'm telling you, folks, good. I'm not talking about filthy, rotten, evil people. I'm talking about people, good people, but because they let pride control them and they lost their control of the ability to discern, their lives are messed up today. People are out of the ministry today because of that. It'll control your ability to discern. I want to say next that it'll control your ability to think Christ-like. I tell you one thing, some of the most miserable believers I've ever met are people who have a carnal mind. And you know where carnality comes from? It comes from pride. That's where it comes from. Carnality comes from pride. And the carnal mind, the scripture says, is enmity with God. So if he hates pride, guess what else he hates? He hates a carnal mind. And if he hates pride, guess what? He also hates a mind that won't think Christ-like if we're a Christian. It'll control the way you think. It'll control your ability to discern. Listen now, it will control your ability to love the Word of God. You know, I find out one of the biggest struggles when you have one of those days that you kind of categorize. People say, well, how's things? Well, I just had one of those days. Well, what they're saying is, at least what I'm saying is, boy, I'm telling you one thing, the flesh is beating the tar out of me today. I'm telling you, pride has got a noose around my neck. He's got a knife in my back, and he's making me walk the plank. But you know what you can do? You don't have to. You see, the thing about it is we think that if pride gets a hold of us, we got to submit. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit of God. Remember, I said you may be inoculated with it, but you have a counteractive help that lives within you, the Holy Spirit, that can counteract that. You see, pride will control your decisions against Christian character. It controlled David, messed his life up. It closed Lot's spirit, lost his family. It changed Solomon's heart. And he died. Originally he was the wisest man in the world, but you know what? For the most part, Solomon died disgraceful. Disgraceful. An idolater. You see, pride is a control freak. And what pride does is it uses control as a means to an awful end if you allow it to control you. You say, preacher, what does pride use to control people with? Let me just throw a couple out there. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy, lust, immorality. All of these are offshoots of pride. Remember I said pride's the taproot? These are offshoots. And he will use these to control you. You say, preacher, you don't understand. This person did this to me. Listen to me. You know what will keep you from forgiving them? Pride. And you will not be able to fulfill your goal of Christian character. Let me give you another one quickly. I said pride will change the heart. Pride will close the spirit. Pride will control your decisions. I want to say next, pride will capture your life of Christian character. It will capture you. You say, what biblical example do we have, preacher, to picture where pride captured somebody? Well, let me take you back to the book of Judges to a man by the name of Samson. Now, Samson, boy, I'm telling you one thing, he had some strength, didn't he? Man, he could tear the city doors off. He could tie foxes' tails together and set them on fire. He could slay people with the jawbone of an ass. Listen, boy, he could do a lot of things. But he couldn't overcome pride. It was too much for him. And it captured Samson, and he was never able to rebound. And you know what it cost him? His two eyes. They gouged his eyes out. And listen, did he have to be grinding at the mill like the oxen? Didn't have to be. You know what got him there? His old buddy pride got him there. And let me tell you something, pride will be your buddy in a heartbeat. You buddy up with him, just get ready. You're going to be grinding at the ox. You're going to be grinding at the mill like the oxen for long. Because pride will capture your life. It'll capture your mind, your ability to rationalize things. It'll capture your testimony among your peers. And it'll capture your strength to fight back once you become its prisoner. You see, tonight, church, let me show you a person. You let me show you a person who's been captured by pride, and I'll show you a person that is an absolute monster toward other people. You hear me? They're a monster. They treat people rudely. They treat them. They'll lie to them. They'll say ugly, nasty things to them. You know why? Because of pride. It will eat them alive. They can go to bed just as calm, and they can wake up the next morning a monster. Because pride will do that to you. Let me give you one more, and that's this. I said pride will change your heart. It'll close your spirit. It'll control your decisions. It'll capture your life. And listen, this one is scary here now. Pride will curse any hope of developing Christian character. It will curse any hope that you have of developing Christian character. You say, who got cursed, preacher? Let me take you to Acts chapter 5. Remember a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira? You know what got a hold of them? You say, I know what it is. I know the answer. I know it. Money. No, something got a hold of them long before money did. I'll tell you what got a hold of them. Pride. Pride got a hold of them. Then came the money. And then you know what it cost Ananias and Sapphira? Their life. It cost them their life. You see, pride will curse your walk with God. Pride will curse your desire to give anything to the Lord. Not just financially. It'll curse anything as far as your desire to give God anything. Time, effort, attendance at church, anything. Pride will curse your future reward before God. Because we are going to all stand before God one day, folks. And you know what I think is going to be the biggest thing that's going to hit most of us? It's pride. Pride is going to rob us of our future reward. And it'll curse any hope of developing Christian character. I've never met a person that was swollen up with self and swollen up with pride that ever wanted to have godly character. Never met one. If you meet one, let me know. But I don't think you ever will. Because it's killed any hope of developing character in their life if they're overcome with it. Now let me finish up and say this. Pride's our greatest enemy to Christian character. Pride makes it all about us rather than about Jesus. Pride causes a conforming process to take place, all right? But it's not conforming to Christ. It's conforming to this present world. You see, we've all been inoculated, church, but it doesn't mean that you have to let it destroy you. It's how you handle it when you're faced with it. And can I say from the pulpit to the pew tonight, we all have the same enemy. We all have the same flaw. And if we're going to accomplish our desire, we're going to have to hit the enemy head on. You say, how are we going to do that, preacher? Through the power of God. Because I promise you, You try to arm wrestle pride, you ain't going to win that. You try to attack him and wrestle him, you're not going to win that battle. He will consume you every single time. He got Lucifer, didn't he? Got David, didn't he? Got Solomon, he's the wisest man in the world. Got him, didn't he? Got Samson, didn't he? Got Ananias and Sapphira, didn't he? They were supposed to be good church members. And what it'll do, it'll get you too. Say, preacher, what do we need to do tonight? I tell you what we need to do. We need to come down here and empty out pride. God's not going to use our church if we don't get rid of pride. God's not going to use us as individuals if we don't get rid of pride. God's not going to enhance our church and build our church and grow our church numerically, financially, spiritually, if we don't get rid of pride. Hey, folks, did you remember the first verse we read? God said he hates it. He despises it. And if God hates it, I think we better get rid of it, don't you? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you tonight, church, what's going on with you? Has pride got you? Has he closed you down? Has pride got you to the place to where you're starting to redefine sin now and starting to redefine definitions of what it is? And have you reached a place to where you're calling evil good and good evil? That's a scary place to be. Very scary place to be. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone here tonight and say, "Preacher, I don't know the Lord.